certainly glad to be here this afternoon. Matter of fact, we've had a very wonderful time today singing praises unto God and worshiping Him, and hopefully the way that He commands us to, and hopefully that's been encouraging to all of us. But you know, we get to do that every week. That's one thing together that we can do for each other, not only is to worship God, but to edify one another. The Apostle Paul taught the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." I know the songs we have sung has been a great encouragement to me, and also getting a chance to visit with everybody, and hopefully we've all been encouraged. But you know, that's something that we don't do just today, but as Christians, we should always strive to encourage each other. This afternoon, I'd like for us to look at a couple of things that Jude had said to Christians to encourage them. And I hope and pray that it will be an encouragement to all of us. If you would like to follow along with me, I'd like for us to look at a couple of verses in the book of Jude. You'll recall that Jude is the next to the last book of the Bible. It only has one chapter. But I want us to focus mainly on verses 20 and 21. Jude, verses 20 and 21. Jude writes, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." I believe there is something that we can all gain from these very words. The first thing that he says is to build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Yes, as Christians, we have a most holy faith. And we think about the faith that we have in Christ. I hope and pray that it gets stronger every day. In fact, earlier in his epistle, in the third verse, Jude said again, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once delivered for all unto the saints." If we contend earnestly for that one faith that has been delivered, no doubt we will be built up. I've heard people say time and time again that if you hear something often enough, whether it is true or not, you'll come to believe it yourselves. And if we encourage each other to stand up in the faith of Christ, will we not be strengthened ourselves? How do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to get our faith. And the Bible teaches us exactly where our faith comes from. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, I'm sure you'll remember the words of Paul when he said, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's another reason why we're here, to read and study the Word of God. Since there is one God, He has left us His Word that we can only find in one book, and that is the Bible. We can only get one faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul explained that. He said there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Makes sense then that if we all read and study the same Word, believing in the same God, will we not all get one faith? We'll believe that God has only sent one and only begotten Son. It is in Him in whom our faith is based. When Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2, notice his words in verse 7. He says that we are rooted and built up in Him and have been established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Aren't you thankful for the God that loves you to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross that your sins could be forgiven? I know I am. And I'm thankful that His only begotten Son was willing to lay down His life, that He can take it up again to mean that there is hope for you and there is hope for me. And it is in Christ in whom my foundation is laid. You'll recall that Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 that there is no other foundation than anyone that can lay than that which is laid, and that is Christ. Christ Jesus, the only foundation. And if we as Christians are built together around Him, can we think about how our faith can be built? How do we grow or build ourselves in that faith? Well, let's look now at the words of Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, Peter will tell us how to build up our faith. Let's see the kinds of things that Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Peter says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control and perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can you see how that will build up our own faith as well as building up each other? That will help us to grow closer to God and to one another. So yes, we can be encouraged when we all build up our own faith and help to build up the faith of others. But then there was something else that Jude said for us to do, and that is to pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, as Christians, we have a special privilege. We could come to the throne of God at any time. You'll recall that last week, as we were together, we looked at how exactly the veil of the temple had been torn in two, and thus the holiest of holies is now acceptable, thanks to the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And through that avenue of prayer, we can ask for anything. And Jesus said that if you ask anything in my name, it will be granted unto you. But we're told how often we are to pray. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there in verse 17, Paul says to pray without ceasing. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 12, Paul said, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said to pray always. Hear the common theme? There is a time, any time, that we can always go to prayer, go to God in prayer. Well, that's something that we find easy. And then perhaps there are other times that are not so easy. Sometimes we may not understand exactly how that process works. How do we talk to God? How does God know exactly the things that we need? Well, someone is helping us. That's who Jude said. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Because in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, Peter said that we know first that no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If God could allow the Holy Spirit to help men to write His words, Can he not help us tell God the things that we need to say? Makes sense, doesn't it? Sometimes there are things that I know I need to say, but I don't know how to say them. And sometimes there are things that, Lord, you know what I need, but I have no clue. I may be in a rough situation with my family. I might have some friends that are needing my help because they're so desperately lost in sin. I may have a lot of physical or spiritual needs, and God knows these things, but how do I express them? Well, the Holy Spirit is able to help. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, there in verse 26, Paul explains how he helps. The Holy Spirit can intercede for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes there are no words to express. A lot of times you hear artists say, I just can't tell you, I have to depict something in a painting. Or you might hear a composer express, I had to put it all into my music. That's how I express myself. How do we express ourselves unto God? One can help us in that very regard. So we can encourage one another. We can be encouraged ourselves when we pray in the Holy Spirit. But then Jude said to keep yourselves in the love of God. Yes, it is very clear that there is nothing in this world that can stop God from loving us. Can you believe that? Not a thing. In fact, he was even willing to allow his son to die for us. Notice what Paul taught the Romans in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Look there with me now, if you would, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. See if we experience any or all of these things that Paul says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? But as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says there is absolutely nothing that separates God's love from us. Well, what about the flip side? Is there something that separates us from loving God? Do we ever think about that? Is there something that we might love more than God Himself? Well, you may remember there were many individuals Jesus encountered and taught them that they had to put Him first above all else. Jesus famously said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are we always willing to do what Christ commands us to do? Sometimes it's easy, but other times it is very, very difficult. If we truly love Him, regardless of who we're with, where we are, we will always do what He commands. In John chapter 13, there in verse 34, Jesus taught, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, that you also love one another even as I have loved you. Do we truly love Him? If so, we will love each other just like He loved us. Brethren, that's how we encourage one another. You remember how Christ loved us. He was willing to lay down His life for us. That's what He says in two chapters later. In John chapter 15, then beginning in verse 12, Jesus again explained, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." As we know how Jesus loved us, if we love each other in like manner, he knows we love him, and yes, we too are encouraged. But finally, as Jude says, we have something to look forward to. And he says that is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When we think about who Jesus is, there's a lot of things that he can give to us that no one else can. Here are the words of Paul to the individual Titus. In chapter 2 and in verse 13, he says, "We look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." Because of Christ, we have a hope. Because Christ was risen from the dead, there is a great hope that you and I too can be resurrected in the last day, as one of Jesus' dear friends from Bethany also pointed out. Yes, because of his resurrection, we can live forever in heaven with him. There will come a time which Christ will return and to take those that have done his commands and truly love him and each other to take us back to heaven. And thus he extends his great mercy upon many. You may remember the words of Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 50, when she proclaimed, "His mercy is upon those who fear him from generation to generation." Do we truly fear God? Keep his commandments? After all, doesn't the Bible say that is the whole duty of man? We find these words near the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon realized there were things that he tried that just would not give him pleasure. But what is life all about? First of all, doing the will of God. And yes, doing what he says. If we truly fear him and keep his commandments, everything will turn out just fine. There was an individual that pleaded unto Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on me." You may remember more than one that uttered these words. We don't have to cry these exact words, because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says that God is rich in mercy. It's already there. All we have to do is to come and ask. If we're in the right place and the right time, always with God, it's right there for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, there and in verse 16, notice what the writer says. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm sure at some point or another, or perhaps even all the time, we all need the mercy of God. And in fact, it is through that mercy in which God saves us. Remember Paul's word to Titus in chapter 3, there in verse 5, is there a connection between God's mercy and our salvation? Absolutely. He says, "It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but rather, according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." That's a good reference to us having our sins washed away. When one is obedient to the gospel of Christ. I don't know about you, but it is very encouraging for a sinner to repent from his sins and have them washed away. And it's very encouraging for the members of the Lord's church to add a new member of the body of Christ. We encourage them, they encourage us, and no doubt the Lord is encouraged when someone is obedient to His will. Brethren, I encourage you to encourage me and each other today. If we truly build ourselves and each other up on our most holy faith, if we continue to pray in the Holy Spirit, if we remain in the love of God, we can look forward to eternal life through the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, therefore, let us comfort one another with these words. You need to respond to the invitation this afternoon. It has been extended. The rest is up to you. You need to become a member of the body of Christ. If you need the encouragement and prayers from the church, we want to assist you in any way we possibly can as together we stand and sing.